coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. I'm fired up. I am so fired up because, you know, look, in terms of where we're at, look, we know that we're pretty far down, pretty far into, in my view anyway, the book of Revelation from biblical, from the Bible. Look, I believe that. Okay, I do believe that. And, you know, having said that, okay, look, I know that believers and non-believers alike tune into this program. I get their emails. I get your emails. I see what you write. I understand that some people don't believe in the literal Bible as it stands, but I do. I have a saying in my household, if God said it, I believe it. That's it, period. All right? So that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm telling you right now, what is coming in, what's here, not coming, but what's already here, is really mirroring the book of Revelations. And you know, think what you want about Clay Clark and his reawakened tour. He gets into various things like H.R. 666, the Trace Act. And you can look these up yourself, as he says, H.R. 666, the Trace Act. And again, think of him what you will. I don't care, okay? And that's my... I guess that's my whole posture at this point. You know what? You don't like me. I don't care. You don't like him. I don't care. You don't like Bob Smith or Jane Doe. I don't care. Do you like the truth? If you like the truth, then okay. Follow the truth. But he gets into H.R. 666 Trace Act. The CDC green zones. He was just on with Alex Jones yesterday. I've been having dialogue with him and the people in his group, his organization, his tours. You know, you've got everyone from Donald Trump Jr. to General Flynn to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, all the doctors and such. And but here's the thing. You know, the thing. Eric the Tech, you know, the thing. Isn't that Joe Biden? You know, the thing. Corn Pop was a bad dude. But here's the thing. We take wins when we can get them, right? All right, we fight back. We're not appointed to, at least this is my view, we're not appointed to sit back. Aren't you talking to me? Are you not talking to me today, Eric the Tech?
No, I'm good.
Okay, because I you know. All right, here's where I'm at. Lays this out pretty good. And I think the evidence is all here for consumption. From H.R. 4-6s to H.R. 3-6s. The legislation's there. And that's pretty odd numbering, but okay, let's go with that. And then the Microsoft patent for creating this communication under the skin, and you can look this up on his website, which I'll link to, or yourself, patent number WO2020060606. Again, interesting configuration of numbers. It's a Microsoft patent for creating this two-way communication under the skin, and he talks about transhumanist out there, Harari. First name? Anyway, Harari, who is the guru for Klaus Schwab. If you didn't see yesterday's InfoWars with Clay Clark on that, I would urge you to do that. Again, I go to sources and people and even open source platforms like InfoWars to bring you kind of a consolidation of information that you need to know and understand, in my view anyway, for the times in which we live. But here's the thing. We have to fight back. And to Christians who say that, look, you know, You can't change prophecy. No, I agree with that. You can't change prophecy. But I don't want to go down in history as some sniveling wimp that dies on his knees, because I ain't doing that, okay? And I really didn't, the show prep really didn't get into this. I wasn't really planning on talking about this, but I was thinking about this pretty much all night into the day and thinking about, what are we called to do? I'm done talking about laws, rules, regulations, because no one follows them. Not the people in the upper sanctum of government. You're not tossing me out. No. You're not gonna take me off into the sunset. We covered the World Health Organization treaty. We've been talking about that. What a bunch of crap that is. And if anyone goes along with that, you deserve what you get. That's my view. Look, here's the thing. You know, the thing. I'm telling you, this is what I believe. I don't care if you believe it or not. And if you don't, great. If you do, great. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. It's not going to affect me at all. I'm just trying to bring you the information so you can make a decision as to what you're going to do. Am I biblically sound? I hope to be. I try to be. And I think I am. I think that there's enough scripture to support the fact that we are to fight back. We are to kill, stomp our enemies. And I mean stomp them. Again, FBI, FEMA, whatever, law enforcement. You want to come to my house, break into my house, take me away? Here's a piece of advice. Make sure, or at least try to, make sure that you send people without families. Because I may go, I may be taken out, but I'm going to do my best to put the hurt on a lot of people and take a lot of people with me. And you may say, well, that's just crazy talk. Yeah, maybe so. We'll see. And the other thing, too. You watch all these videos, and I know you have, of these people driving through these riot areas and you know, getting stopped, and people are kicking their cars and throwing things at their cars. I watched it this weekend, right? It was Chicago and some other places. I'll tell you what. Number one, my car does not have reverse. It has. I just don't use it. And number two, if you think I'm going to sit there and get whooped on without advancing rapidly, you got another thing coming. So it's up to you. And speaking from the heart and frankly, there are people out there that if they were crossing the street, I'll tell you what, and I saw them crossing the street, I'm going to say this honestly. That's a bad place to be for you. I'm just saying. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you say, well, maybe you don't, or maybe you think, well, that's really not a Christian thing to say. Oh, I don't know about that. Someone wants to enslave me and my family and my children and my grandchildren. You don't think I'm going to fight back? You got another thing coming. And here's the thing. The other thing, channeling Joey Two Scoops or Joey Three Scoops or Joey Six Plugs, Mr. Potato Head. Here's the other thing, too. I think we're called to fight. The election day for primaries in Pennsylvania and other states was yesterday. Just changing gears briefly. And it amazes me how people can put their hopes in election day when we do the same things, when the same things happened in 2020, that happened today. You saw, I think, Montgomery County, you saw the Observer's post. If you didn't, it's out there. The Observer's pinned in like sheep. You know what? If I'm tasked to observe a table You're not going to put me 50 feet from the table, all right? Or you're not going to keep me 50 feet from the table. Because one of three things is going to happen. I'm going to be arrested and tossed out. Or I'm going to make my way to that table and be on top watching. That's optimistic, of course. Or there's going to be a really bad dust-up involving more than just me. But see, doing the same thing, expecting different results, it's crazy. It's crazy talk. It's kind of like running an investigation. If you're running an investigation or surveillance and you're not getting any results, well, hey, take a look at your tactics. Take a look at your method of operation. Take a look at the people that you've got working. Take a look at what you're doing and change accordingly. Speaking of the elections in Pennsylvania, you know, I took my own pen yesterday. They did make some changes with the texture of the ballots, and of course I noticed that. But they're still using Dominion machines. Oh, I know. Hey, I can't say anything about Dominion because they'll sue me in civil court. Right? So because lawfare is okay right now. That's what they do. But trust me, I know. I fought the battle. But here's the other part of this too. I spoke to some people there. And I was not quiet about it. When I went in, I said, so what brand is this machine? Oh, Dominion. I said, so, and the guy, you know, smiled there. And he says, oh, they tell me, I'm told it's not hooked up to the internet. I said, bullshit. So am I offending you by saying that? I said, I don't believe you. And I don't believe in the integrity of the election. At all. We need paper ballots, hand count, and people watching the counters. And if necessary, people watching the counters who are watching the counters. One day, it's crazy that we can't get results on the same day. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. Identification required, in my opinion. You vote, you walk out, you got people that handle the paper ballots, but no. Enough of this disenfranchised crap, all right? And enough of it. I'm tired of hearing, well, that disenfranchises a whole... No, it doesn't. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid at all. I had a conversation with my congressman, actually, state congressman, out in front of the... out in front of the voting precinct. My wife, again, you know, taking my wife, when we go together voting, she disavows anything. She disavows me. You can ask Eric the Tech, okay? If I fly, okay, everyone, they give me a wide berth. I don't know that guy. If I meet like a politician, I don't know him. Are you really, ma'am? No, I never saw him before in my life. But what my wife did was get a little bit of footage of me at the polls yesterday. Of course, you know this is a joke, but I'm going to go with it anyway. So work with me on this, okay? Here's me at the polls yesterday. This is clip one. And I'll fix this after you watch this. Go ahead. It's about a minute, 20 seconds is all. Go ahead.
I'm to the place right now. If you vote Democrat, I don't even want you around this church. You can get out. You can get out, you demon. You can get out, you baby butchering election thief. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation. They hate this nation. Get mad all you want to. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you throw tomatoes, praise God. I'm about to throw a microphone up in his house. CNN can eat my dirty socks. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. You cannot. Somebody say amen. The rest of you, get out. Get out. Get out in the name of Jesus. I ain't playing your stupid games. Bunch of devils. I'm sick of it. Hey, want to talk about the insurrection? Let me tell you something. You ain't seen the insurrection yet. You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down, sorry compromisers. You God-hating communist America. You'll find out what an insurrection is because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't playing your mess. My Bible says that the church of the living God is an institution that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says.
All right. And the entire clip, I believe, can be, or maybe that was it, but there it is. Okay, that wasn't me at the polls, all right, obviously, but that's my sentiment. And that's a pastor in a church giving a sermon. Now, to me, this is what we need to do. Now, there are people that will disagree with that and disagree with me, but I'm telling you right now, we need to take that stand, to take that approach, to take that, have that fire in our bellies. And if we don't, then, you know, what's a man? Okay, there are two genders, a man and a woman, two sexes, two, it's very simple. You're either a man, you're a woman, nothing in between. All right, you might have sexual perversions and proclivities that are anti-biblical, okay? But there's nothing in between. But, which brings me to the point, what's the definition of a man? What should a man do? Now, this is not to diminish the role of women at all. No. But as a man, I protect my household. As a man, I'm tasked with going out and hunting and gathering and such, right? Again, making it very basic. Are you laughing at Eric the Tech?
The Oregon Trail.
They were not. Wasn't that a computer game or something? Yeah, okay. All right. But no, it's my responsibility. Now, again, if you're a single woman or if you're, and moms, oh my goodness, mom, do not mess with moms. Moms will just absolutely chew you up, spit you out, because I got a lot of respect for you. You start messing with the cubs, okay? Most moms, oh boy, don't get between a mama bear and her cubs. And that's what this lying, scheming globalist, these bastards are doing right now. And I'm telling you, I'm being just perfectly honest with you, pouring my heart out. My question is, why haven't, and this is a question, and a legitimate, serious question, intellectually based. I want to know why people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and this Harari moron, and even Elon Musk. I don't trust Musk. I don't trust him one bit, especially when he's bopping Grimes, his, you know, baby mama. And Grimes is making all these weird videos about AI in Chinese, no less, but okay. But why are they still sucking air? That's my question. And what in the hell are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Let's get this thing started. You want a road? Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. Well, you can't talk like that. That's incendiary disgust. You can't. Yeah, okay. I just did. What are you going to do about it? Am I calling for an insurrection? No, but I'll tell you what. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. I'm done. I am absolutely done with morons and maggots and Muppets. Done. Absolutely. And if you're not up to the task, if you're not in the fight with me, then you know what? Go watch, I don't know, go watch something else. Go listen to something else. But somebody's got to lead this charge, right? We have to lead this fight. We're men. We are patriots. We care about our country. We care about those around us, our families. We support our families. That's right. We're too busy working, right? Why? If we lose everything, what's it for? Okay. I've pontificated enough. I just want to hit this real quick. Coming up, Richard Proctor, ProVisitInstitute.com, but I want to hit this real quick here. And I know Richard's on deck listening to all of this. But this is important, I believe. You know, this WHO treaty, okay? There are some people, and I have to give people credit because, look, I wrote about this, again, in the Wisconsin Christian News, the issue coming out. I've talked about this WHO treaty. But the fact is, this regime under this O'Biden regime, and believe me, it's not Biden. It's the people, the structure behind Biden, the puppet string pullers behind Biden. There's a large, long Twitter thread, however that works. And I have to give credit where credit's due. You know, if I'm doing an investigation, somebody has already done like a major part of the investigation, I'll check their work, but I won't redo their investigation unless it's necessary. But in this case, it's not necessary. This is a very long Twitter thread, and the author of this is Critical Sway. Now, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. If we can put this up here real quick, this is like a summary of what's going to be happening in a couple of days. So in a few days, officials from our country, your country, wherever you might be listening to this, they're meeting to discuss this pandemic treaty. Now, let me just stop right there. You see, treaties need to be ratified. Well, how they're getting around this is because very quickly, in 1969, the World Health Assembly, what they did was they created this legally binding instrument of international law known as the IHR, the International Health Regulation. Well, the IHR is the only international legal treaty with the responsibility of empowering the WHO to act as the main global surveillance system over all member nations. Now, the IHR and its regulations do not need ratifications in the U.S. by two-thirds approval, as normal treaties require. The United Nations tacitly approved obeyance with IHR regulations by our membership in the UN and the WHO. So this is kind of an end around, okay? And then you've got this Muppet under Obama Biden. Again, these people are all connected and submitting amendments that enslaves or subjugates the United States and all in your nation under this treaty. But very quickly, this guy writes, or this person, Critical Sway, writes, I spent 12 hours translating into English this draft proposal that's right now before the WHO in Geneva. It's 56 pages of acronyms, obscure references, and nonsense. Now, I checked this out. I've got the same document, and he's right, absolutely right. The paper is zero draft report of the Working Group on Strengthening WHO Preparedness in Response to Health Emergencies to the 75th World Health Assembly. Okay, that's the title of this document. What a bunch of baloney. And the official title, he writes, gives you an idea about the tone of the whole report. You can see why most commentators have adopted the term pandemic treaty. And he writes, for the rest of this thread, I'll call it the zero draft, which is more appropriate, I suppose, than a pandemic treaty, because here's the deal. What's the deal? Here's the deal. Why are people worried about this thing? It's a proposal right now, but it's a scary one at that. If enacted, the WHO will have far greater authority in relation to your health. That's right, our health, especially if there's a pandemic, and even if there isn't one, and they will inevitably declare one. Okay, so, and he writes that this thread is not based on hype, speculation, or conspiracy theory. And it's a great, great thread, and it really encapsulates what's going on. And the document contains 131 recommended proposals that fit broadly into 10 categories. All right, now listen to this and tell me this is about your health. Political leadership, cooperation and collaboration, WHO at the center, financing, sustainability of COVID-19, innovative mechanisms, global surveillance, strengthening the IHR, the international health regulations. In other words, this blanket authority over our sovereignty, which is absolutely BS. And by the way, blue helmets make great targets. I'm going to make a t-shirt like that. Oh, that's right. I can't get people to print t-shirts or coffee mugs with stuff like that. As a matter of fact, the one vendor we use wouldn't even print the Gadsden flag. Think about that. Oh, you can't. No, we don't do that. He writes, Universal Health and Preparedness Review pilot travel measures and equity. Seriously, what does equity have to do with health? All right. High level, at the high level, he writes, and this again is Critical Sway on Twitter. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. The plan is to increase power and funding for the WHO. Who runs the WHO? Essentially the CCP and Bill Gates with cameos by Fauci, Gates, and Fauci and Collins and other people like that, Daszak, these criminals, in my view, criminals. So it would solidify the WHO as the directing and coordinating authority on international health. All right, he goes on. Just a little icebreaker. He wrote, I did a quick search and counted how many times certain words appeared in the Zero Draft, and this should tell you everything you need to know. Just this one passage here. Vaccine, vaccines, and vaccination. 33 times in this 56-page document. Just above surveillance, which is used 30 times. And of course, what would the document be without the term misinformation, which is used 7 times, and privacy 5 times, which should give you a general vibe of the thing he writes. More funding for the WHO, of course. Regular simulation exercises. What do you think brings about the pandemics, plandemics, and scandemics? Scamdemics, that. All right, more support for research and development. In other words, hey, you know what? We're going to tweak these viruses to be more infectious into humans. That's what Daszak admitted to just recently. Yeah, that's what we did. So, and again, this goes on and on and on. You can see the top 20 contributors, the WHO. If you scroll down a little bit, there's a chart with the blue lines going across. Keep going down a little bit. Let's see here. Ba-ba-ba-bing. There it is. You can see who the contributors are. Who are the contributors? Oh, gee whiz. You've got Germany being one of the top. Go figure. And then, not to be undone, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Oh, no, say it ain't so. They're just being philanthropists. But they give more than the United States. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense to me too, right? Look, I'm not going to be part of their prison planet. I'm not going to be part of their games. I'm not going to be part of this BS that's going on. I'm just not going to do that. And I know Richard Proctor ain't either. All right, we're just not going to do that. I'm too old for this crap. Life in prison, by the way, to me, has less meaning today than it did to me 30 years ago. Just saying. And I know I've said that before, and I know that people will say, well, that's just something to say, right? Well, you know, try me. Look, I'm not gonna pee on your leg and tell you it's raining outside, okay? Other people will. I'm not. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we have, right now, we are in a post-constitutional United States. I want to ask Richard Proctor, I'm going to ask him about what the Constitution says about voting. How in the hell did we muck this up so badly? Or actually, maybe the question would be, how did they control things so proficiently? How did we allow them to do that? Why, for example, when somebody in Allegheny County, a registered Republican, a both sides same coin, right? But a registered Republican goes to vote, there are no ballots. Whoops, we didn't print enough Republican ballots. Can you come back later? Really? Are you serious? Whoever is in charge, now that person needs to, in my view, that person needs to be arrested for election tampering. Whoever that person, the person above that person, the person above that person, and the person above that person, And the people standing around beside them, they need to be arrested. Or worse, I'm to the point right now where, look, if I see a lamppost and some rope and somebody hanging from it and twitching from it, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Eric the Tech saying, hey, calm down. These people need to be brought to justice. Born in the wrong century. I remember, or I don't remember, but I've read about you steal a man's horse, you get shot. Maybe that's what we need to go back to. Yet you see a bunch of literal monkeys, not literal, but you see a bunch of people running out of stores with acting like monkeys, taking a bunch of goods and running out of stores, and the clerks who's standing around saying, oh, okay, well, you know, hey, you can't do that. Or they take their stupid phones and record it. There's value in recording, but it should be done by surveillance cameras on the store. But what happens to these people? Nothing. Nothing. If that was my store and you're taking my stuff, okay, I got a shotgun. Not a problem. Not afraid to use it. But yeah, you know what? I'll get arrested. Okay. Okay. But you know what? You'll have to catch me first. I'm done. Just so you know, I'm not sure how long we have on the air. Okay, now the Disinformation Governance Board is quote, paused in government parlance, which means it ain't going to fly. Why? Because people like us, platforms like ours, spoke up, called our senators, our leaders, right? We called them and said, hey, we're not doing this. We ain't doing this. And we're not going to allow you to do this. So that's a win there. All right. I can go on and on and on. How would you like to have coffee with me someday? You know, my wife says, oh my gosh, I can't take you anywhere. I can't take you anywhere. Eric the Tech, he knows me. So he gives me a wide berth. He likes the way I drive too. I just don't care. He said, hey, you pulled out in front of that. All right. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. ProvisInstitute. Look, he's with me. I want to talk really about current events. Yeah, that's my dog. Deal with it, okay? My dog, I bring my dog to the studio every single day. All right? My office is right next door to the studio, but every single day. And she's a great girl. So she's barking right now because the UPS person is dropping off a package. And I can see it from our security monitor. So deal with it. All right. But ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box. Look, folks, a lot of information there. All right. Saving the Constitution. We do still have a Constitution. Learn it. Because we're going to have to burn down what's started and then restart it based on the Constitution. In my opinion, these are all my opinions now. So that book is instrumental in understanding. See, look, I got a copy of the Constitution. It's hard to understand, right? A little bit sometimes with the wording and such. So you need like a primer. There it is. That's me, okay? That's just me. Yeah, you may say, well, I got it. Well, good, great. No. Have it. And get the hard copies of these too, because I don't know how long Richard is going to be able to sell these. I don't. Bathroom economics. You want to understand the economics? Take the book. Take it in the bathroom with you. Maybe that's why your title is that way. I don't know. I could think of a couple of other reasons, but anyway. And there's Liberty. Will it survive? It's a series. It's 6 books. There it is right there. You don't have to get them. But you know what? It helps. It helps with the backdrop. Look, I know I get people who say, hey, look, you know, you push this, you push that. I'm not pushing anything. I'm telling you it's there. If you want it, great. If you don't want it, that's great too. If you think you know it all, hey, great for you. I got commenters on Rumble, a couple, but anyway. They know it all. They got it all figured out. God bless you. Have a great day. Just get out of my hair. Just get out of my life, okay? You got to figure it out, great. Woke up on the wrong side. Actually, I didn't wake up. I wasn't even in bed last night. dealing with a case right now. I'm not going to tell you about the case, but it involves a trafficking case out of Florida. All right. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. With me now. I know I took over his time. I screwed up the timing on this so badly today because my head is so far up my behind. I'm telling you the truth, okay? I dropped the ball. I mean, I absolutely dropped the ball. I do that once in a while, more than once in a while.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I know you are. I'm just making you wait. How you doing, brother? How you feeling?
You see my head, how it's sitting there?
Well,
tomorrow I get an MRI, and then they're going to decide how to fix it.
Okay, so, okay. Wait a minute. We can do this.
Let's do it together.
We'll do it together. Yes. And that way people think, wow, well, we have to adjust that. To move the monitor a little bit.
Turn it sideways, yeah.
All right.
No, I've got a bone spur sitting here on this side.
Oh, underneath. Really?
A little piece of bone that broke off, not vertebrae, but a spur. It grew there. It busted off. And now it's got sharp little points and it's poking me. And my body makes this go so it won't poke me.
So that's interesting you say that. Okay, folks, bear with us for a minute. So that happened. So I've got a piece of bone in my jaw that actually the same thing when I fell and hit my face on the stair tread. That broke off a piece of bone. That was fixed, but there was also on the other side punctured part of my sinus, which that didn't work. So I've got to go back and have that done. But anyway, what are they going to do for that? They're going to have to remove that, right?
Yes, I don't know what they're actually going to want to do. One of the suggestions was shoot me for the cortisone to hide it, and I says no, we're not going to hide it. We're going to take care of it. You know, cortisone wears off and you're still there.
I've had those shots. Yeah.
Not interested in that. I want to get the thing taken care of. But I don't know. I don't know how big is it. I don't know if it's this. Let me see this right. I don't know if it's this big like this.
Right.
Whoops. Or if it's this big like this. I don't know.
Well.
Let's see. Tomorrow I find out.
So you're going to go for an MRI tomorrow. That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, two of them. One with contrast and one without. They want to get a good view of what the dickens is going on in that part of my head.
Wow.
The physical therapist said, you got to get your head straight, keep it straight, keep it straight. But when we got down to looking at it, it wasn't whether I keep it straight or not. It's that piece of bone sitting in there that the body's trying to protect me from.
Okay, I've been in my share of auto accidents and things that happened to me, starting from 78 when I was in an explosion. A gas. By the way, that's pretty exciting when that happens. But anyway, so my neck and back is all screwed up. So my question to you is, if you would move the wrong way, can you be paralyzed?
No. It's just a little spur.
Okay.
No.
Because
we're not talking inside the neck. We're not talking vertebrae.
Okay. All right. So it's outs. Okay. I got it. And you folks, hey, deal with this. Okay. We got a friend here, Richard Proctor, and he's in pain. The poor guy kind of makes me want
that happened last night at my Patreon meeting. I was in so much pain. I got the clock mixed up.
I
have to apologize to the folks. I thought it was 8 o'clock and it was only 7. I was in a lot of pain. I could not, I didn't understand. I literally didn't understand.
See, okay. I did that today with the program clock and you know, it's something when you look at something, you can see it right there. It's right there. Okay. But it doesn't like register in my head. Okay. You're an hour early or an hour late in my case.
Yeah. Okay. I was an hour. I stayed an hour too little. I was supposed to go to 8 o'clock and I went to 7, my time.
Yeah. So now
when I looked at the clock, I watched it and it was, for me, it was saying I was done. But I would hurt so bad.
Oh, man.
I couldn't see that kind of stuff straight. We still talked about private property at length and all the different aspects of it.
Well,
there's a lot of aspects of private property. We covered them all.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Before we get into anything else, if you can expand on this private property, because I'm dealing with somebody right now, okay, and I'm not going to get into this, but we're talking about private property rights, okay, and the from taxes the county, state, school, local, you know, whatever taxes you might be faced with, and the fact that you could lose your property even though you own it outright. So, I mean, if you can give us like a – I don't want to redo your Patreon meeting because, folks, Patreon, join us Patreon because he's got a lot of great information, one-on-one stuff.
And we spend an hour. We spend an hour plus just on property tax.
Right.
Plus.
Okay,
just
so
– just on that subject.
And even when his head's like this, so when his head's fixed, you know, it'll be even better.
I'll be able to spend more time, yes.
Okay, so
– anyway, that's a property tax.
Okay.
The property, and it's going up because the valuation of the homes is going up. That's right. A bunch of garbage. Now, I'm going to make an illustration.
Okay.
Somebody says, you're going to murder somebody next week, so we better arrest you. And they do. Is that right?
No, because I haven't done it yet.
That's not right. Of course it's not right. Well, then how come they can get away with saying that your house is going to be worth this much, and we're going to tax you on it? When I sell it, let's assume that I'm going to sell my house. And I've got a $200,000 home, and I'm going to sell it because the stuff's gone up. Oh, my, it's worth $500,000 today. So they charge me $500,000 my property tax. They'll take it away from me if I don't pay it. But in fact, if I go to sell it, they'll only give me $300,000. So why have I been paying taxes on $500,000? They want to say it's the value. No, sirree, it's not. It's a supposed, perhaps, maybe value. The only value in your home is what was paid for the last time it was purchased or refinanced. That's the only value. Money changed hands, that established the value, and it won't change from that day, period. But these people are inventing new things so that they can charge more.
Wait a second, though. Okay. I'm not sure I agree. Well, the way you said that maybe helped me out here, because let's say I buy a parcel of land. Okay, let's work this out, if you don't mind.
Yes, work it out. Yes,
okay.
Sort of.
I buy 10 acres of land. It's right. Wooded. It's all, you know, it's...
It's very nice land, I'm sure.
Nice, you know, land.
It's just gorgeous, you bet.
Right. Beautiful. So I spend $100,000. I don't know. Yes. I don't even know what it would be.
That's a good number, $100,000.
Okay. So this land is already taxed by the taxing body of the county, right? And by
already, well, it was being taxed at a hundred thousand,
right?
Or at least it was valued at $100,000 when you bought it because you caused that value to occur.
Okay, so all right. So the county comes in and says, "Well, all right, that land is worth $100,000. So we're going to tax you on that land." At that rate, so it's whatever the millage might be.
Yep.
You pay a certain amount. It could be, I don't know, we'll just say $300 a year, which is okay.
Okay, any amount you want.
All right. Okay. So your taxes now are $300 a year. Then, of course, you have your school taxes because, well,
property tax usually covers school tax. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, okay, that's part of it then. All right.
Yeah.
So $300 a year. So then you build a house on this property. You spend another $100,000 to clear it and another $200,000 to build a house. So now it's, well, we'll make it that the whole total, we'll make it $500,000 that you...
Well, no, it's $300,000. You built the house on it. You spent that kind of money, cash out. Value is now $300,000.
Okay.
$200,000 for the $100,000 for the purchase and $200,000 for the house.
All right. We'll do that.
The value.
So $300,000. Okay.
Yes.
So now I've spent $300,000 out of my pocket, $100,000 for the land, $200,000 for the house. It's a small house, a little cabin with a fireplace and,
it's fine.
You know, rocking chair. Okay. My dog next to me. Okay. So now doesn't the county have the right to come in and say, well, wait a minute, that's now worth $300,000 or no?
What right do they have to do that?
They
make it up. They're just making it up, Doug. They're just making it up. They're looking at the land around and saying, well, since that land's worth that because it was sold for that, that land's worth that, it was sold for that, we're gonna tax you on what that land was sold for. Nope. I'm sorry, guys.
Mm.
You have $300 in that house. That's the taxable value. It never changes.
Wait a minute.
It never changes.
Let's be clear. $300,000 now. $300,000 in that house.
Right. Never changes till the day you refinance or somebody buys it from you.
So what I'm hearing you say, I spent $300,000 to build the house on a piece of property that I bought at 100 and then 200, so 300,000. So that house is worth 300,000. That's a value. They tax you on that value, and they're not allowed to come in and say, you know what, the house down the road, the house over here, comparatives, we're going to raise your taxes up to 500,000. We're going to assess your property at 500.
That's just exactly like arresting a guy because he might commit a murder next week. It's the same thing.
To the police departments in your body,
they're saying you will sell it for 500,000, therefore that's the value. But when you put it up for sale and you can only get 400,000, why were you paying on 500 for all those years?
Well, because we did.
It never was worth 500. They have no right to tell you without value attached what the value of the home is. And the value of the home is what somebody paid for it. Most recently.
Is there any way we could appeal that decision?
No, not appeal it. We've got to go in and change it, not appeal. Appeal means you got to go in and talk them into it. No. We've got to get out of the business of thinking that property tax can be changed at the will of the county because they want to have your house worth more. You can go in and debate all day, but that's not the issue. It must not occur. We must stop it. And the only way you're going to stop it, folks, and everybody gets mad about property tax, the only way you're going to stop it is for people to gather by the thousands all over and say, this is not right. I'm not going to be punished for something that might happen in the future. And that's what they're doing. They're punishing you because if you don't pay that amount that they think you ought to, they'll take it away from you and sell it for that. And you might get a little bit back, but people usually don't buy it for more than taxes. So then you're stuck with nothing.
And I'm watching that happen with the piece of property about a mile from me.
They're making up the value. They're just making it up. We've got to stop this. It's not fictitious. It's a real value. But people won't learn economics, so they don't know these things.
Well, okay, then here's my problem, and this reflects the first segment. Here's my problem. You can get 10,000 patriots to attend a rally, reawaken tour, you know, Clay Clark, okay, which God bless him and God bless those who attend. I love it. You can get 100,000 to attend a pro-Trump rally. You can get a whole bunch of people to attend all kinds of rallies, but rallies don't solve the problem. What
I'm
we
not
need
talking
to do
about a rally.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, we need the bunch of people you're talking about. We need them to descend on the.
I want angry citizens
there
to
you go.
Descend and yell and carry on.
That's what I want too, and I'm ready. I'm ready to lead the charge.
That is the only way it's going to be changed because they've got it embedded in them that we can make more money if we just raise the property taxes.
Well,
I don't mean the percentage. I just mean the value of your homes. And right now, a whole bunch of them. Well, now let's take 2008. You remember what happened in 2008?
Oh yeah. I got a paper route in 2008. Go ahead.
Right. A whole bunch of homes were really high in value and paying taxes for being high in value. Then 2008 comes along and the value drops. Do they refund the overtaxing? There was never a value. There was never the value that they said it was worth just because everybody was buying homes that couldn't afford them. That was the case in that case. And so they had to give it in, and then the housing stuff dropped because there was no value there. There was no value in those numbers because people didn't pay hard-earned cash for it. They borrowed it, but they never paid it. Okay, in that case. In the real case is, if I buy a home for $300,000 and I borrow the money, I am committed to pay for it. And today people are paying for it. But they're not paying for an $800,000 home. They're paying for a $300,000 home. So if you're going to shove it to $800,000, where's the justification? And it isn't the justification of somebody else's home. Your home is different. Everyone is rated separately. That's why they send an appraiser in when you're going to buy a home. And the appraiser comes in, he looks at your home, and then he looks all over the neighborhood to decide what your home's worth. Garbage. He's supposed to look at your home and decide what your home is worth based on cost of replacement, all that kind of stuff, and what you paid for it.
Okay.
Well, if we were just to go by paying for it, they wouldn't need the appraisal.
So, okay.
Appraisal, Appraisal is just an opinion of somebody. I had people appraise my home at, would you believe it, when I was getting ready to do stuff, I had people appraise the home at $29 a square foot and at $89 a square foot. Why the difference? Because the guy that walked in decided that. That's an opinion. That's not law. The only law is, what did I pay for it when I bought it? Even if that was 100 years ago, what did I pay for it when I bought it? Now, that's how property tax should be done. Now they're going to have levies of percentages. Now you've got something you can go in and complain about. You can't do that to us. You know, there are people paying thousands and thousands of dollars in property tax. Some people are paying actually more than their payments are.
I've seen that. If you go on Zillow or Realtor.com, yeah, and you look at some of these houses, you know, like, I couldn't afford the property, let alone the mortgage. I couldn't afford to live there.
That's right.
Are you insane?
That's what's happening today, because the property tax is up for grabs. Whatever they want it to be, that's what it will be. Now, if the guy's going to come in and rate it at $29 a square foot, I don't mind. Okay? If he's going to come in and rate it at $89 a square foot and I only paid $49 a square foot, then I mind.
But let's be fair. The issue is, in this case, equity. Okay. Yes. Because... Yes. Because McMansions, okay, they drive me nuts. These poorly made homes that were constructed, you know, small little McMansions, substandard materials, a lot of peaks, and you know them when you see them. Okay, so having said that, the price per square foot is not based on anything rational. It's not based on the assessment of materials used or anything. So it's based on, which is wrong.
Opinion. Yeah. An opinion. I didn't pay for it, by the way. He came back $29 a square foot. I said, I ain't paying for that. You're not right. And I didn't pay for it, but somebody else did.
Mm, okay.
They paid him for that. Good grief. If I put my home on the market at $29 a square foot, I couldn't beat off all the buyers.
Yeah, I'd be one. No matter where it is.
Right.
Okay. So very interesting. So we need to... This is, but
it's the worst tax we have is property tax, because it's all based on opinion, not basic facts.
See, folks,
and
this is what you learn.
If people knew economics, they would know this.
And this is what you learn from his Patreon meetings. Okay, support.
Richard Rocker. We spent a lot of time on property tax last month.
I'm telling you, man. If you're a living sentient human being out there, you need to know this stuff, because this is stuff that I wish I knew when I was 21, 22. Go ahead.
I can't believe that people think that economics is tough and they don't learn it because they think it's tough. It's the simplest thing. Mathematics, you really got to think about to know it, but everybody wants to do that, so they do it. Economics, everybody already knows most of the stuff. They just don't know how it applies. For example, I'm going to sell sand for $1,000 a pound, $1,000 a gram. How much sand will I sell? But if I sold gold for $1,000 a gram, oh my, I'd sell a lot. If I sold diamonds, which sand is, okay, what diamonds are, is sand, just pressure. If I sold diamonds for $1,000 a gram, maybe I would get it, but I won't get it for sand. And they're made of the same thing, just different pressure. Okay, everybody knows that. Why is that so hard? It isn't hard. Everybody knows it. Then why don't we know how value is determined? Because you think you know it, and you do. It's a life experience.
Yes.
But you need to understand the economic view, because the damn politicians are going to do a different view than you have, and if you don't know it, you're stuck.
Okay.
Minimum wage.
Wait a second. Before you go down that road, and please do go down that road, but I want to ask you this. Eric the Tech had a question, and this is a question I didn't think of, but it's a question maybe others did. You have the same house on 1 acre of land, the same house on 10 acres of land, the exact same everything. What was the rest of it? Should that be taxed the same? Or the square foot? What was your question? The square footage.
The land.
Price per... Does that affect the price per square foot, the land?
Well, let's go back. Price per square foot is supposed to be determined by what it was paid for the last time it was purchased. So the land was purchased, 10 acres, probably $200,000. The house you put on it, probably another $200,000. Now you got a $400,000 investment.
Hmm. Right.
But just because you have 10 acres and a house on it doesn't make it go to $20,000. I mean, to 20, let's say it differently, $800,000.
Right.
Oh, the land around is going up. That's fine. But is it really going up, or are you just saying it's going up? Was there a sale? If there was no sale on your home for 20 years, the price, the value doesn't change. Let's say another thing about home value. You're going to put in an elevator. Now, that's really convenient. And it's about $35,000 for the elevator plus the labor to build it in. Okay. 40 grand, maybe 50, maybe 45. You got to, that's really, do you know when the appraiser comes by, they won't even look at it? Oh, that's not worth anything. What do you mean that's not worth anything? That makes my home available, all the floors to handicapped people. What do you mean it's not worth anything? But they won't give you any value for that $50,000 you just spent. Now, where's the truth in that? Well, the reason they won't give you any value is because the other homes don't have one, and they got to base your value on the other homes. That's not right. My home is my value, period. If I had done that and I had spent that money, that's an add-on, and my home goes up in that value.
Right. Right. Meanwhile, Otis, the elevator guy, is rolling in his grave. But okay, so you make a good point there.
The value is what you pay for things.
Eric the tech just, what if you have a mansion in a mobile home park? Okay. Or what if you have a mansion among low income houses?
Well, does it make any difference? What you pay for it is what the property tax should be.
Good way of saying it. Okay.
It's always that way. It should always be better. That's the only value there is. Let me give you an illustration that's very easy. There are cans of peas on the shelf that you buy for 50 cents a can.
Right.
How much are they worth?
Well, I got two answers.
They're worth
to that.
50 cents 50 a can cents. Because that's what you pay for them.
Right.
That wasn't too tough, really.
No.
Okay. Well, because there's a shortage of peas, or because everybody wants peas, does that mean the price goes up?
Well,
the demand will go up, therefore they'll pay more for it. But unless the peas cost more, they're not really have that value. Not until they pay that for it, then the value goes up. But if a grocer just thinks I'm gonna price it $10 a can, well, nobody else thinks it's worth $10 a can, so he won't make any sales. Value is what's determined by what people will pay their hard-earned cash for. That's what value is.
Okay.
It isn't something made up.
So let me just ask this, because this is what's happening currently today in certain areas around here. A house will go for sale for $500,000.
Yes.
Okay. Which is a lot, I mean, around here. And you'll have bidding wars. And people will say, no, I'll pay $600. I'll pay, $650. I'll pay. And the house will end up selling for $800,000. For a house that is barely worth $500,000.
That's the taxable value, because they did pay cash for that. They felt it was worth that. See, that's how the value is established. You establish the value of a home when you sign the document saying you'll pay for it that way.
Huh. Okay.
Everything is established that way. What's the value of a car? You go into a dealership, you dicker around, I'm not going to pay $1,000 for that 20-year-old junker. I'll pay $200. And he accepts it. So what's the value?
$200.
It's simple. Those peas I was talking about just a minute ago, if there's a big demand for them and the people are coming in and paying for that price, then the price can go to that, whatever they're paying for it. But if there's nobody buying it, then there's no value there. I don't care what you say it is. I mean, government will come in and say, well, since you're charging $10 a can per piece, then we're going to charge you as if you had sold it for $10 a can.
I gotcha. Yep.
That's what government will do, even though you can never sell one at that price.
I gotcha. Okay. Which I see the inequity the system is broken. Go ahead.
This has been so ingrained. These things have been so ingrained in us that we don't have any idea. For example, you go in and buy a car, 40 grand. How much is that car worth? $40,000. You've signed a loan at the bank that you're going to pay the bank $40,000 back because they loaned the money and they paid the dealership. When you make your payments on that home, what happens to the money? And nobody knows what happens.
Well, people would say it goes to the lender, right?
Yeah. Principal and interest to the lender, yeah.
Is that true?
And what does he do with it then? He puts it down as principal and interest, as if you were paying against the principal and paying interest, and the interest is the bank's profit.
Right.
That's not true. The whole payment is the bank's profit. And when it gets to the bank, they call it capitalization. They multiply it by 9 times so that $40,000 just went to $360,000, and they're going to loan $360,000 on your car you bought for $40,000, and they just made up the money out of thin air. When you signed the paperwork, that said you just created. You didn't create value. Well, you did because you're paying for it. But you also created $40,000 of new money to that bank that they've never seen before. And they're going to multiply that by 9, $360,000, and make loans up to $360,000 on your $40,000 purchase.
Okay.
And then they're going to come back, go to the Federal Reserve and borrow $360,000 and do it again. Now, what is it worth? Not what is it worth? What is the bank loaning on that? Remember, you did 10, that's about 360. Whoops. 360 times 9 equals. Now it's worth $360,000 times 9 more. It's now worth $3,240,000. Not worth. They created $2,540,000 on that car you bought for $40,000. You established the value. You have paid for it. The bank sent them a check, and that made value. That made money. That created money. Now they just start loaning it, first 9 times the 40. And then they take that 40, get borrow from the Federal Reserve at about 3%, and then it goes up to $2,040,000 or some number like that. And that's how much they're going to loan on your signature of $40,000.
But okay, so who gives them the right to do that besides us?
The Federal Reserve.
Right.
And we don't know it because we're not paying any attention.
All right.
Because we get property and we get a principal and interest on our gizmo. Oh, we paid this much on principal and interest. And that's just smoke and mirrors. They don't care. They call it investment capital. The whole thing folds into investment capital and they loan it all. Over and over and over again.
Okay, now here's my question, because you kind of started down this road. Let me ask you this. If we had a gold or silver-backed current system of currency like we once had, would they be allowed to do that?
It depends on what the banks decide. If they're going to be given the opportunity to multiply your deposit by 9, because they've got to keep 10%, they can loan out 90%. If they have that privilege, and yes, it will continue to go, they'll just hide behind the fact that they say the dollars are worth gold and silver, or worth whatever the gold and silver is. But the banking system will change that with their own ability. Now, if they do not have that right to do that, then it won't change.
Okay. That answers that question. So we need to get rid of the Fed, obviously, which...
Absolutely. That is the worst... That is the worst organization in our country.
Right.
They think they own us completely. And we say, okay, you do. Thank you very much. What can I do?
Hmm. Well, all right. So we need to end the Fed, obviously. We need to, and you're a big proponent of the banks. You talked about banks, you know.
Public citizens banks, authorized by the state, but they're not state banks. They're public citizens' banks, which means they're not a part of the Federal Reserve. Therefore, they only do that which the state allows them to do.
Are there any in existence right now?
One. And it's not completely correct. One. They call it a public citizens' bank up in North Dakota. It's been around since 1919, over 100 years. It's still not a public citizens' bank. It still functions under FDR, Fed rules, and it's still supervised by the state. Audit by the state is okay. Supervised by the state is not. There's a difference.
Absolutely.
And that's the key. The state audits it to make sure the rules are being followed that the state has established. And that's okay because the state did it, not the feds. But you see what happens? That bank's profits all go right back to the state. And that lowers your taxes. And if the government wants to get that money into it, they don't give it to anybody. They go out and build something that benefits the community and pay the contractors and the labor and the materials and everything with the money they want to introduce. They don't hand it ever out. They want to take away money. You change the banking principles just a little bit and bingo, the money will leave you. And that's how you control inflation. And the formula is MV equals PT, and it's been around since the middle 1800s. Not until John Maynard Keynes came along in 1930 and started this debt economy.
Okay, let's go back to that formula because you went pretty quick over that, and people, I'm sure, want to. What is that MV?
MV equals PT, and if you had my economics book, it's explained in detail on several pages.
There it is. Hang on, I got it. I got the economics book. Sorry, I'm not going to reach down. I've got it, though. So, okay, yeah. All right.
It's money, velocity, transactions, and price. That's what they are.
So, okay, this is relevant to what we're seeing today, and it's so relevant because, folks, again, if you want to understand what's happening with prices, with inflation, with what the Fed is doing, raising rates, quantitative easing, remember that. Bathroom Economics is the book to get, as well as your other book about economics, too.
Well, that's for the kids, but they're almost the same.
Right.
So if you want them for the kids, then easily understood with a ring binder, that one, with a ring binder, so they can lay it flat, answer questions and stuff like that.
I like
if
that
you
one.
If you want it for you, adult, you know, then you get this book, and it doesn't have a ring binding, and you read it in your sittings in the library.
Yeah, I like them both, actually. But okay, so, okay, we are right now in a period of I believe we're going to see hyperinflation. This is caused, I believe, as well by the Fed, by their manipulation, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, creation of money. Let me explain that for you. Yeah, okay. No, you are right. It's done by the creation of money and all those quantitative garbage things. This is how it's done, what that formula means. MV, that's the supply of money times the velocity it travels through the economy, equals PT, which is the price times the number of the transactions that the price is purchased. Now, they follow transactions all the time. It's a sales tax thing. They charge sales tax on the transactions. So you give a report, they know what the transactions are. And econometrics has a very complicated program in high-level economics, econometrics. I never took the class. You don't have to know what it is. You just have to know what it does, okay? So here you've got the velocity of the money speeding through or it's going through slowly. That matters, okay? Transaction, the number of transactions, that matters. The dollars, that not the physical number 12, the $1,000 that you spent for those 12 items. That's the transactions. Those two, V and T, multiply, V and T, V over T, multiply by the money supply determines price. Price is not a value. That price is the value of those three components. So if price goes up, that means the money supply went up or V and T went up. You don't know which. So how do you control it? If it goes up, you lower the money supply just a little bit. And V and T will take care of themselves. If you lower it too much, the prices will begin to go down. You watch it monthly. And if the prices begin to go down, you raise, put more money into the economy through money supply. You see, the money supply is the key. If you set V and T to 1, which you can do mathematically, that's legal. MV equals PT, MV over T equals P, that's legal. You take V and T and set them to 1, then they mark out. Then when you see the formula, how easy it is. Price goes up, money goes up, price goes up. Money goes down, price goes up. It's that simple. And it isn't any more complicated than that. But if you try to get Keynes's book, you'll have a formula you can't even read. And I think they divide by zero so they can get deficit spending in there, but I don't know where. You can't even read the thing. They threw that in so that they could hide inflation. So what do they teach you in economics class causes inflation? Rising prices. That's what causes inflation. Rising prices. And everybody believes that. Okay, I'm going to give you another example of the same thing. Wet streets cause rain. Is that correct?
Well, it's backwards.
It's backwards. That's right. Rain causes wet streets. Money supply causes inflation. Inflation doesn't cause money supply.
That's right.
Inflation doesn't change. Well, the prices are changed, but it is not created by prices going up. It's created by the money supply. But nobody knows that because you're not taught it. You don't understand. You think when you get a check for $1,200 from the government, you've got a windfall. No, you haven't. You're going to pay for that in the cost of goods in the future, and it's going to be a lot.
Your grandkids lent you that money, in my view. All right.
Yeah. There's no free lunch. There ain't no free lunch. The government cannot give you anything for free. Everything costs. It just matters who pays it. If we all pay it together, like in prices for groceries and stuff like that, then that's going to be passed on to the kids, grandkids, forever kids. I mean, it'll never go away. It's going to be passed on, just built on, made bigger and bigger and bigger, all because we accepted $1,200 from a government that said, oh, we're going to give you $1,200 because you forced you so you couldn't work. So you can't earn it, so we're going to give you $1,200. Do you see the correlation here? The lockout stopped your working. The government fixed it by giving you $1,200, which in fact will make everything more expensive when you want to buy it. And today, they do inflation a little different than they did it in the days of yore. See, in the days of yore, you had a basket of goods. Every kind of thing was in that basket. And they went around and see what the basket was worth one month, and what it was worth another month, what it was worth. And that's how they came up with inflation. That's valid. What do they do now? Well, they have different ways to compute inflation, about three or four different ways. And several of those ways leave out groceries and gas. Do you buy very much in groceries and gas? Well, then why isn't it in the inflation basket? They took it out because it changes too much. They'll have too high an inflation figure. So they took it out. And that's what government does. There ain't no free lunch, you guys. It either is or it isn't.
Okay.
You're going to pay for it somewhere.
Now, I got a question here because and this affects everybody. So you go to, I know that our grocery shopping trips are a heck of a lot more expensive today than they ever have been, ever. So you go to the grocery store and you buy, it doesn't matter. Whatever you buy, okay?
Yep.
You're paying more. That's inflation, okay? So now, how do you fix inflation? Do you print, throw more money into
the... Change the money supply.
How?
If inflation, you lower the money supply.
Eric the Tech. Now, so does that answer your off-air question? You lower the money supply.
The question now is, how do you lower the money supply? Go out and steal things from people?
Wait.
How do you lower the money supply? That's what
determines the money supply. My head hurts.
The money supply is determined by what the government prints takes out of printing.
But
it doesn't matter if it's coin or paper. That doesn't matter. What matters is how much of it.
But shouldn't that be based on something like, gee, how much gold is in Fort Knox or how much?
Well, it could be. That's all right. But today, if you tried to do that, you couldn't do it. We can only get 10% of our money back by gold if we had it all.
Okay, so.
But you know how it used to be gauged? By production. And that's a valid way to gauge it always. By the way, that's what MB equals TPT measures, is production, as well as money supply. See, the transactions of velocity mirror what the production is. See?
No. No, okay.
Here, think of it this way. If somebody makes a bunch of tables and they sell them, that's more transactions and that's more money.
Right.
Okay. if they make a lot of people are making tables and chairs and furniture of all kinds, and it's new stuff, and it gets going, and things begin to happen, that causes velocity in the money supply, and it also has more transactions, okay? And if the money supply is balanced, it works. If the money supply is not balanced, you got to figure out how to balance it. Now, if you want to balance it, even though all those things are going into the society, you balance it by decreasing the money supply.
Okay, then.
But you have to be careful, because that causes depression.
But why is everything, it's on everyone's hearts. Why is everything inflated right now? Why do we have inflation right now?
This very minute, because we printed so much cash over the years. I've got a money chart in my head, Liberty Series. You can see it for yourself.
Okay.
You can see what's happened every year. I do it by quarters. Every quarter I follow the M1, M2, and M3. And you can see all of their growth for all the way up to 2006. And that's when the Federal Reserve said, you don't need to know that, anybody, so we won't tell you. And then I couldn't trace it anymore. And why did they do that? So they could print more money. When Ron Paul caused an audit of the Federal Reserve, just a small one, he discovered during a three-year period between 2006 and 2010, I don't know what the 3 years were. He knows, but I don't. But it was a three-year period. The Federal Reserve printed and distributed to European banks and companies over $16 trillion.
Okay.
And we were worried in the budget about one. But the Federal Reserve, by their own authority, already did $16 trillion.
Why?
That money comes back and causes inflation.
Why did they do that? Why are they doing that now? Okay, so to me, everyone is suffering from inflation. I know I am. You are. Eric the Tech.
They are doing it because they want you to suffer by inflation, because they want you to come to the government for help.
Well, that kind of blows.
That's what they want. That's why it's being done. That's what the lockouts were all about, to get people under the government control. That's what it was. It wasn't anything to do with a pandemic. Here's a statistic that ought to get right to every one of you. We used to have, in the 1990s, all the way through the 1990s, through the 2000s, 50 or 60,000 people die every year from flu. It just was. It just happened. That's what happened, okay? Did you know that they've stopped counting that because there aren't any anymore? We have cured the flu. Now we have 50 or 60,000 deaths and more, because they changed things, in COVID. And that's a bad pandemic, because we had 50,000 deaths. Well, they didn't call a flu a pandemic 10 years ago, but that's what it is today. And they did those things just to get control of us. That's all it is about, control of us through economics. They wouldn't let you work. Then if you don't have an income, now you're starving to death. Oh, I'll save you, says the government. I'll save you. Oh, come, I'll save you.
Okay.
The government causes it, and then they save us from it. Garbage. Leave it alone, you dummies.
Well, okay. And folks, you see, this is, like, to me, this is one of the most important discussions you and I have had, I believe. Because this impacts everyone listening today. I don't care where you are.
Every person.
Yeah.
Every person.
So this is all about control. This is not an accident. Inflation in this case is by design. Right?
Inflation is always by design.
Inflation is always by design. That's important to know.
Somebody wants money. It's always by design. Let's think Germany had an absolute horrible inflation during the early 20s. Why? Well, it happened because the Versailles Treaty gave them stuff they had to pay in marks that they couldn't possibly ever pay. It was just overdone. The punishment on Germany at the Versailles Treaty was so bad, they'd never be able to pay it. So they printed more marks to pay it. That caused the inflation. And everybody in Germany suffered fiercely because of the Treaty of Versailles.
Right. Which, by the way, led to World War II. And
yep. See, okay. That's it. That's exactly right. Who was the cause of World War II? Germany, because they went through that terrible time. The Treaty of Versailles caused that terrible time, and that terrible time caused World War II.
And okay, so that's perfect. let me ask you right now, are we being set up for World War III, given Russia, the sanctions on Russia because of, supposedly because of Ukraine? This is, it's all BS to me. This is all BS.
It's all planned. There's no coincident government.
What he said.
The purpose is to get control of us.
Yes.
Worldwide. There's no other purpose.
And there it is, folks.
That's what the World Economic Forum is doing. By the way, you got to know these things. They're all in my books.
Right.
The World Economic Forum's rules, situation is, we're going to control the world and we're going to make them do what we want. And we have a meeting officially every January in Davos, but we'll have a lot of other secret ones nobody knows about.
So, all right. And again, this is so relevant to today, folks, because you're paying more for groceries. You're paying what? A buttload for, I mean, you got to get more to your house to fill up your gas tank today.
We see that. And that's the case. But what are they going to call inflation? Oh, they're going to call it 2 or 3 or 4%. Every person who goes to the store knows inflation is more than 2 or 3%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody goes to the gas pump knows inflation is more than 2 or 3% a year, by the way.
Right.
Not a month, a year. But they still only give us 2 or 3% because they take things out of the basket, so it will yield that number.
Right. They cook the books. I get that.
And
What then, because of your vast knowledge, and I respect you for this, and in the book, folks, provostinstitute.com, the link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. So based on your vast knowledge and experience, and I really respect that, where's this going now? Because this is
unbridled. Hyperinflation and destruction of our economy.
Okay.
That's where it's going. There's no other question. The question is when. When the nations of the world won't buy our dollars anymore. That's when.
Okay, now hold that thought. Here I am. I'm prepped. I got bullets, beans, and barter. Gold. Okay, I'm just saying. Let's say I got a basket of gold right here in front of me now. I don't know, a couple pounds, whatever. So let me ask you, am I better off having gold with what's coming?
Well, let me answer this question for you. You think about this for a minute. Remember, we're looking at a catastrophic time coming here. All right. Now, here's the illustration. There's a man over here on the east side of the valley. He's got a basement full of gold. Wealthy. This guy's got all the money he needs. Oh. There's a guy on the other side of the valley, on the west side of the valley. He's been keeping track of the things that are happening. He has food in his basement. So the guy with the gold comes over. I'm going to buy some food for him. He says, no, you're not. I'm not going to sell it. Now, what's worth more?
Good point. But what if you can't afford your taxes? What are you going
to
do?
And the government will come and take your home away from you, and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
But if you've got a basket full of gold, but you're hungry, can you pay your taxes?
Oh, as long as there's a government to pay, you can use that gold to pay the government. But you may not be able to use it to buy food, because food could be so scarce that people will not sell it. They'll barter for a different kind of food. That's production. One guy over here grows wheat. One guy over here grows rye. One guy over here grows corn. One grows beans. One grows lettuce. And everybody just comes to a co-op and fixes it all around and goes home with the stuff they need. And the guy with gold shows up, but he doesn't have anything but gold. And they don't want gold. You can't eat gold. You cannot eat diamonds. You cannot eat gold. You can only eat food. You can only use production. That's why production is the key. I've got a whole section on how value is created in the economics book.
Yep.
Whole section on value, how it's created under different conditions, different situations. But let me give you an illustration of how value is created. Just a small one. The United States and Europe were almost exactly the same in the year 1817, late 1700s. We had the same kind of things. We had the same kind of everything. It was the same. We all lived pretty much the same. It was equal, European and American. I can't say anywhere else. These were equal. When people came from Europe, they came to some place that was equal to where they left, except they had opportunity. They had opportunity because of the Constitution and the government we had in the early 1800s. 1800s and the late 1700s, the government we had, you notice the past tense? Okay, they all came to something and they knew that if they worked hard, they'd be paid for what they were doing and they could buy food and stuff. And they did. Now, some of them didn't work hard and didn't have opportunity. I know we had problems. Don't get me wrong here. But the country, by and large, grew faster than the countries in Europe because we had factors in our economy that allowed us to do things freely. And we really took advantage of it. And we grew like wildfire. When it came to 1940s, we were the wealthiest nation in the world, bar none. Standard living was the highest, bar none. Then here comes the United States government in the 30s, all deciding about all this welfare stuff and all these gimme programs and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, people that work hard pay money so somebody else can live. And those people that live with other people's money don't do anything. They're not producing, but they get money anyway from the government. Yay! And now what's happened between the 40s, between the 20s, and today? We are now not the wealthiest or the best or the highest standard of living in the world. Absolutely not. In 2006, we were third. I suspect now we're fourth, fifth, or sixth, maybe seven or eight. Why? Because our damn government is destroying our country by giving laws and rules and things so we can't produce properly, easily. And they're giving away our country by free trade. Oh, yes, free trade is giving away our country. Because if free trade occurs and the OSHA sits here and the minimum wage sits here and all this stuff the government has forced upon us sits here on the businesses, they can't afford to produce here anymore. So they move. Mexico, Europe, Africa, Taiwan, they move. And since there's no expense to coming back, they just ship it all back. Only cost is shipping. It's cheap. And now here comes a flood of goods from overseas while we sit here with no jobs, no profitable good jobs left. When did you see the last car made entirely in the United States? I don't know when the date was, but it's not close. When did you see the last TV made in the United States? We may make a couple of pieces for it, but the TV is made somewhere else. And if somebody manufactures TVs, they're buying all the components from somewhere else. Because we have destroyed our economy. Our government has destroyed our economy. And we're up for grab. We want everything free, so we don't care that they've destroyed the economy. We can get stuff cheaper. It's not good, but we can get it cheaper. Oh, we can't buy very much because we don't have any money left because we can't get good jobs. But what we can buy, we do, and we buy it with the cheap places. And you can tell a cheap place versus a non-cheap place by the lines at the customer return. That's how you tell. Just go to the lines at customer return.
Or by the junk trucks that are carrying away crappy
you
stuff.
You can watch your trash in the those
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
But yep. You can tell the stores that are selling junk by how long the customer return line is.
Yep.
You don't have very many customer return lines in the jewelry store, do you?
No. And that's a good point. You know, Richard Proctor, I know I over-talked you for the majority of the program. I apologize for that, but we've got about 2 minutes left, and I just want to drill home to people. Folks, go to provisinstitute.com and buy his books because you need this information. Whether it's bathroom economics or saving the Constitution, that's the least we can do. Get the hard copies. Do it today, please.
I'm gonna say it this way. Buy all 10 books. You can call me and get a discount.
There you go.
Buy all 10. If you don't have any kids in your home, you have grandkids. Buy all 10. That way you can distribute the books to people who need them if you don't need them.
Amen to that.
But you need bathroom economics.
Yeah.
You need saving the Constitution. And you need all 6 volumes of the Liberty series. You need them because what's happening today, you're being destroyed because you don't know. Everybody thinks in the world today, in the United States, the minimum wage is good. Minimum wage destroys jobs. It causes inflation. It is horrible.
Yeah, but notice who promotes that. It's the communist, really the communist faction thinking, hey, let's make sure that people get paid for what they're worth. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute. I'm going to tell you what. Whether you think this was I mean, I think this was one of the most valuable conversations we've had ever. I really do. I really do. I think more people, man, you were on target today and on fire. I really appreciate you, brother. I really do. Got to go. All right.
Yes. Take care.
All right.
Next week.
Have a good night. Good luck tomorrow on your MRI, folks. Good night.
Take care.